Amen. How true that is. And dear friend, I wonder tonight, are you ready as you listen in to us this night in the gospel? Are you ready for that day when the Lord will come again? It's lovely to be with you again this evening and to share in the gospel. And I want you to turn in your Bibles at home and here to the gospel of Luke in the chapter 8. The gospel of Luke chapter 8. And that's where we want to be looking at this evening. And we see how we get on. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. And the Lord was very, very busy at this particular time. All was about His Father's business. And there came to a point when He wanted to go somewhere else. And therefore He spoke to His disciples in the verse 22. And He let them know exactly what He wanted them to do. So we'll pick up our reading from there, the Gospel of Luke chapter 8 and the verse 22. And it says these words, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus went into the ship with His disciples. And He said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And shows His humanity. He needed sleep just like you and I. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm." That teaches us of His divinity, God manifest in flesh. "And He said unto them," that's the disciples, "Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." This was a wonderful account given here, a wonderful lesson that the disciples were going to learn. Let's just bow in a word of prayer and let us seek the face of the Lord as we come to His word this evening. Father, we bow humbly at Thy feet once again this evening, this hour of gospel opportunity, this moment of time in history whereby we have that opportunity of being right with Thee. We recognize, Lord, that Thou hast warned us that we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow, for there's not one of us know what tomorrow will hold. And Father, I'm very conscious tonight as I stand in this pulpit in Lurgan Baptist Church, there's a possibility it could be my final opportunity. And Father, I thank Thee for the opportunity of the preaching of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Father, tonight we pray that You might speak to hearts, that You might give an ear to hear to the preaching of the truth, and that men and women might come to realize that they have a soul to be saved. And ere tomorrow would break daylight, that soul could be lost in a lost sinner's hell. We thank You tonight for the ministry of the group. We thank You, Lord, for their blessings down through these past weeks and months to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will have blessed already tonight what they have been bringing to us in the ministry of song. So, Lord, come and meet with us now. Come and do our hearts good. Come and help us, enable us. Uphold us, we pray, and take us and use us as an instrument, dear God, in Thy hand to bring glory and honor to the dear Son of God, the One who loved us and the One who gave Himself for us at the place called Calvary. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to take this 8th chapter of the book of Luke this evening, and I just want to take a wee look at it. And there are several things, though I have read the opening verses of the chapter, there are several things that we want to look at, basically more towards the end of the chapter. I will be saved 39 years in 2 weeks' time, if God spurs me. And if he doesn't, well, I'll be at home with him in heaven, which will indeed be far better. And maybe you say amen to that. But nonetheless, this is a wonderful thing to know. And I have found this about the Lord, that every day that you spend it with him, it's always sweeter than the day before. And I just thank God tonight for the work of redemption within my heart and within my soul. I thank God for that moment of time sitting under the influence of the gospel, that he came in conviction upon me and showed me my great need of salvation. And I was brought to the Lamb of God, he who beareth away the sin of the world. After, dear friends, I got saved, I began to read the Word of God. I had no interest beforehand of reading the Scriptures. I never even had a Bible to my knowledge. And I didn't read it, certainly never read any of it. I couldn't have told you where any verses were found. But after I got saved, I mind picking up the Word of God and beginning to read it. And it just absolutely fascinates me as I read it even from day to day. I mind reading this portion of Scripture, and it deals with several individuals within it in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. You'll also discover that other of the gospel writers mentioned it as well. But we just stick tonight to the chapter 8 here in the Gospel of Luke. And you will discover that the Lord Jesus had been busy about his Father's business. He came to do that which the Father gave him to do. We don't read too much about his early life. We read about his birth. We read about all that happened at the time of his birth. We read about him again when he was 12 years of age, that time when he went missing from Joseph and Mary, and how they had to go back and find him. But other than that, those early years of the Lord Jesus, there's nothing more known. Not up until that point of time, at the age of 30, when he came onto the scene before John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. His mother was Elizabeth. His father was Zacharias. John the Baptist did not live till he was 40. In fact, John the Baptist lost his head because of his stand for God. But he was sent for a reason. He was sent for a purpose, and that purpose was that he might introduce the Lord Jesus to the world. And on the commencement of our Lord's ministry, this is the announcement that John the Baptist made down by the river as he seen the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the mist. And he pointed and he said to the people, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." And dear friend, what an important message that is. What an important issue that is to proclaim. For Jesus Christ came into the world in order that sinners might be saved. He began his public ministry at that point. And he walked this earth publicly for that 3.5 years. He was here in total for 33 and a half years before he went to the cross. But dear friend, I want to say this evening, as he walked this scene of time, listen. The Bible says that he set his face as a flint to go towards Jerusalem. That was his destiny. And he knew exactly why he had to go there. And he knew exactly what would happen to him there. As he discussed it with the disciples in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And he was able to let them know exactly what was going to happen to him. How wicked hands would take him. How they would beat him and scourge him and spit upon him. How they would lay his back like a ploughed field. And how they would eventually take him out and crucify him. Outside of that city wall. And there between heaven and earth. The Son of God knew that it was there that he was going to pay the ultimate price for sinners and to die in our room instead. And dear friend, there at the cross, listen, he made 7 statements. He's made 7 cries. And one of the cries was this. He said, "It is finished, and the price of our redemption has indeed been paid in full." And dear friend, that's the reason why he came. But prior to his going to the cross and prior to his death, he met many, many different people. He's along here with his disciples. And he had been busy all that day. And he had drew them aside according to this verse. And he said to the boys, he says, listen, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. You see, dear friend, the Lord Jesus, he never wasted any time. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He knew exactly whom he was going to meet. He knew exactly how he was going to get there. And he, when he says to his disciples, let us go over onto the other side, that's exactly where he was going. But in the midst of the journey, we discover here that the Lord Jesus, being weary, in well-doing, he was tired. The Bible tells us he lay down in the boat and he went fast asleep. And he must have been in a very sound sleep. You say, how do you know that? I know that because of the veracity of the storm. I can hear it beating again, that little craft. I can see it coming into the boat. And yet in the midst of it all, the Lord still fast asleep. And because of fear and anguish and worry of perishing, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they had to wake him. They said, care us not, Master, Master, care us not. Care us not that we perish. And Jesus just stood up in the boat and he just spoke to the wind and he just spoke to the sea and he just brought a calm in the midst of the storm. Isn't it lovely? The Lord Jesus can bring us a calm in the midst of all our storms. Yeah, he can. I personally would maybe say that I've come through the hardest couple of years, me and Eva, in this past 2 years. It's been so hard, it's been difficult, it's been trying. I tell you, we've known what it is sometimes to just shed tears, but I want to tell you this. He's been there in the midst of the storm. And he's brought a calmness, and he's brought a peace that we have never known. We would never have made it without him. I mind one morning waking up beside Yvonne, we're just talking a wee second or two, and I was just thinking about the way things were, and I never forget what you said, and it stuck in my mind, and I just says, I wonder what we're going to be facing today. And I mind her looking in my eye, and know what you said? She says, Herbert, do you see the same Lord that brought us through yesterday? He'll be there today. And every day that I get up, he's always there. And the disciples were learning a lovely lesson. That in the midst of the storm, the Lord's there. Maybe there's somebody out there tonight and you're in the midst of a storm. And nobody knows it but you. You maybe feel like the disciples that nobody cares. I want to tell you, Jesus cares. Cares more than you'll ever understand. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. It's lovely. Now the Lord Jesus was going to the other side of the lake. You and I have got to ask the question, where is he going and what is he going to do? Well, he's going to the country of the Gadarenes and he's going there for a purpose because he wants to meet an individual who he knows everything about. And he's aware where he is and what he is. And that's marvelous. Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And on that journey from one side of that lake to the other, he was on an errand to seek that dear lost soul. And you can read about that, and I've preached on it before. You can read about it there in the rest of the chapter from verses 26 on ahead down right to verse 39 in the chapter. And you'll discover that when he eventually arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, that there met him out of the tombs a certain man. And this young man had devils a long time. And this man who met him, and he abode among the tombs, among the graves of the country that he lived in. And it would seem to me he's away from home. He's out on his own. I want you to see the state of him. He's running about naked. His body's cut to pieces. He's just a real mess. But the Lord can change him. And the Lord can meet his need. And when you read that portion of Scripture, you will discover that that is exactly what the Lord done. He met the needs of the man. This man was delivered by the power of God. The demons that possessed him and controlled him, they were cast out of him. And he was delivered. He was made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when the whole multitude saw what was done, they were certainly amazed. And you would have thought, because this boy was like a terrorist amongst them. He was a terror amongst them. He was one that brought fear and anguish into the hearts of the neighborhood because of the character and the lifestyle that he lived. But the Lord came and the Lord delivered him and the Lord saved him. And from that moment of time, he became a follower of the Lord. And you can see that here in the chapter as you look at it here. Take a wee look here at the verse 30 of chapter 8. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion." Why? Because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought Jesus. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And when the devils went out of the man, they entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. And what did they find? They found a man, when they came to Jesus, they found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And that's what the Lord can do. Listen, he was able to bring comfort to the saints. And he's able to deliver the vilest sinner who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon can receive. And this man, for the first time in his life, he not only knew the peace of God, but he knew peace with God. And he sat at the feet of Jesus, this man who had been absolutely naked, this man who had been absolutely out of control, and now his life was transformed by the power of God, and he was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And where's he found? He's found at the feet of Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and in his right mind. I want to tell you, he's a new creature. And what did he want to do after this? Listen, well, my Bible tells me that the whole multitude reacted. You would think by what they seen, what they observed, what they witnessed, that it would be a means to an end of reaching them with the gospel, that it might open their understanding to their great need of a Savior. That's not the way it works. For instead of these people changing them up with a way that we should think they would change, listen, they changed in the opposite direction, because the Bible tells me in verse 37, after what had taken place, and after all their loss, and after what they'd seen happen in the life of this man, the Bible tells me as they stood face to face with the Lord, the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes, round about, what did they do? The Bible says that they besought Jesus to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And Jesus went up into the ship and he returned again. You need to be always careful what you ask the Lord to do. And my Bible tells me that God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. And I want to tell you, dear friend, tonight, whether you're in the meeting or whether you're out there in the airwaves, listen, there comes a day when you say no to the Lord for the final time. And if the Lord turns his back on you, you'll be lost in hell forevermore. But what about the man who was transformed? Well, the Bible says now out of verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed, he besought Jesus. What did he want to do? That he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, here's what I want you to do, son. He says, I want you to return home to thine own house. And I want you to show of the great things God hath done unto thee. I want you to go home, son, and be a witness for thee, for me. Where? In your own house. Just start at home. And I want to tell you something. This boy was excited. I like to see excited Christians. A wee bit of fire in their bones. A wee bit of enthusiasm in their spirit. I like to see it. I can see this boy and he's just bouncing now with the joy of God's salvation. And the Lord has given him a commission. He says, boy, what I want you to do, I don't want you to come with me. You'll be more useful here. I want you to return home. I want you to go home to your own house. And I want you to show the great things that the Lord has done. And as he left the presence of the Lord that day, and as the Lord climbed into the boat, what did he do? Well, my Bible tells me that he went his way and published it throughout the whole city. He couldn't wait to get home. Hallelujah. He was an open-air preacher. He was an open-air evangelist. He was a Wesley in his day. And he brought the wonderful news that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners such as me. And boy, I just wonder, you know, I want to sit down to talk to a lot of people when I get to glory. First person I want to meet, of course, is the Lord Jesus. The next people I want to meet is my son, my father, and my mother, and those in my family who went on before. I'm looking forward to seeing my wee son again. Yeah. But I want to sit down with this boy because I just wonder how many had the privilege of leading to the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us that it's not all recorded. And the Lord came to save him for a purpose, and I personally think that God used his testimony in that country of the Gadarenes, even though Jesus had moved on. So he's in the boat and he's on his way back. They've asked him to part, and the Lord's done so. He hasn't argued with them. He hasn't debated with them. He hasn't pressed the matter. He's just turned his back and he's walked away. He said, boys, let's go. He got into the boat and he made his way back. And when he eventually got to the other side, the Bible tells me here, and it came to pass, verse 40, that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. They couldn't wait till he come back. He had just left them a short time before. And they're still watching and they're still waiting for the Lord to come back. Now, it's not that they wanted them back for salvation. Many of them, people just followed the Lord in multitudes to see the miracles that he did, to hear the words that he had to speak. I want to tell you, he just drew attention no matter where he went. But I want to take a wee look in 10 minutes just what's about to happen here. And I think this is lovely. The Lord Jesus made the effort to go and reach that individual in the country of the Gadarenes. And he reached him. He'll always find who he will be seeking for. Always find him. Where did he find you? Because you never found him. He found you. He found me in Armagh. Found my wife in Portadown. To my knowledge, William Owen was found in the middle of a field. I can bring you to another man who was found in a pub. The Spirit of God came upon him. As the bottle sat in front of him. And he had to push it away. Do you know where he went? He went to the local preacher to find out how he could be saved. I want to tell you something. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. He'll find you. And the Lord Jesus here at this point of time, listen, I want you to see this. This is absolutely lovely. I just love to read about the Lord's ministry. Take a look there at verse 41. He had returned to the other side and there were many waiting on him. But what was he going to do? As he arrived, you know, he was never, ever, ever going to put anybody off who asked him to do something. It was absolutely marvelous. Take a look at this here. The Lord Jesus arrived, he's amongst a multitude of people, and behold, verse 41 says, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And all of a sudden this boy pops up along the road. Now, he obviously was watching for him too and hoping he would come soon. Why was he waiting and watching for him? Well, here's the reason. The Bible says that this ruler of the synagogue, He came to the Lord, and the Bible says that he fell down at Jesus' feet. And he besought the Lord what to do. He besought him that he would come to his house. Why? Because his only daughter, who was only about 12 years of age, she was lying in a room and she was dying. And you can see the anguish of the man. You can see the burden that the man's carrying as he comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And Jairus just falls at his feet and he pleads, Lord, would you come to my house? Because I have a wee 12-year-old girl and she's lying at home and she's near at the point of death. Can you get the anguish of the man's heart and soul? Imagine your child. And the Lord Jesus looked at him, and the Bible tells me here what the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus went with him. He was on his road to the man's house. Now watch. Yes, he said at verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, just the one. This girl of 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, it was a willingness to go. He didn't look at the man and say, oh, I'm not busy all day, sir, you just have to wait. Didn't do that. He never turned anybody away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Not turn you away. And the Lord and him began their journey, and they're now heading to the house of this dying girl. She's lying in her bed, dying, this wee 12-year-old girl. And as he's heading there, the Bible tells us that the people thronged him. I want to tell you, I don't know how many were around the Lord Jesus. But there was a throng of people. There was a vast multitude of people. And everybody was rubbing and up against one another. And they were looking to get as close to him. Just like Zacchaeus, who when he heard so much about the Lord Jesus, he tried his hardest to see him for himself. But he couldn't because of the press. I want to tell you, no matter where our Lord went, he created a stir. And the multitudes followed him. And here he's here alongside Jairus. And he's heading now, thronged with the people. And he's heading to the house of this wee 12-year-old girl. And while he's on his way, the Bible says that there's a woman. And I want to draw your attention to the woman for a wee moment. What's the problem that this woman has? And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. The same length of time as this wee girl. This problem was a problem of hemorrhaging. It would have been very difficult for her. She would have been probably classed as unclean among the neighborhood. She had probably been just treated like an outcast because of the way that she was. And the Bible tells me here that there was a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says that she tried her very hardest in order to get rid of the problem, to have the problem rectified. Verse 43 says, it says she not only had it for 12 years, but she had spent all her living upon physicians and neither could be healed of any. There was no one any good to her. But one thing I do learn about the girl, same thing about blind Bartimaeus in Luke's Gospel also in chapter 18, you'll discover that though blind Bartimaeus was blind, yet he could hear and he heard of the miracles that the Lord Jesus had done. And therefore when that time arose that the Lord Jesus came to the very place where he was, he called Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord not only healed him that day, but transformed him and saved him, and he became a follower of the Lamb. I want to tell you, it was an act of faith. But I want to say this woman could see all right. Her problem was the issue of blood she was hemorrhaging. But she also had heard about the Lord Jesus. And she also was in amongst the multitude. And as the multitude were thronging the Lord, she tried her hardest. She knew if she could only get to the Lord could heal her. And this was an act of faith that was drawing her like a magnet to the Savior. But because of the crowd, the Bible says that she couldn't get through. And she tried hard and she pressed hard, but she couldn't get through. And then she thought to herself, as she came behind him, and she says, if I can only but touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. Now the garment had not the healing power in it, but it was the one whom the garment was on. You can see her as she reaches through and she pushes through the crowd and she touches by faith the hem of his garment, the border of that garment. And the Bible tells me as she touched the hem of his garment, hallelujah, the Bible tells me immediately her issue of blood stopped. And she was healed immediately by the power of the living God, the power of the Savior. And she knew it. But I want to say this, so did the Lord. And though the Lord, everybody was rubbing up against the Lord with a crowd. Everybody was touching the Lord, those that were near to him. But there was only one who was reaching out by the arm of faith. If I may touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And as she reached through, she touched it. And that problem in her body was healed. The issue of her blood was stopped. But not only was the issue of her blood stopped, but the Lord stopped. And the Lord was aware that something had happened. And the Lord said in verse 45, "Who touched me?" Who was it? Now, he knew fine rightly. But he wants a confession. Who touched me? The Bible says here, when all denied, everybody, it wasn't me. And Peter, he spoke up. And Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And the one who reaches out and touches the Lord in salvation, I want to tell you, there'll be a new name written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she was aware that he knew what had happened. She came trembling and falling down before the Lord, and she declared unto the Lord before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Just like the Apostle Paul. Just like Zacchaeus. Just like so many who have come to Jesus with the cleansing power and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And as she confessed what she had done, 48 says, and he said, the Lord Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Watch it. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Isn't it lovely? No, he brought comfort to the saints on the storm. He brought deliverance from the demonic of Gadara. He was able to touch this dear woman who had been ill now for 12 years. And he was able to bring her peace and stability and salvation. And I believe from that moment of time she followed the Master. But where was he going? My time's gone. Well, he's going to Jairus' house. And as this woman has just been made whole and found peace, the peace of God and peace with God, while he yet spake to her. Watch it. I want you to see this. Jairus is by her side. He's standing there and he's watching and he's looking on. And he's seeing everything that's happened. I'm sure he's getting excited. I'm sure he's getting fidgety. I'm sure he's thinking of himself, listen, we need to get going. My wee girl hasn't long to live. I want to tell you something, the Lord's never too early, nor he's never too late. He's always spot in time. But watch this, here was a word of discouragement. While he yet spake in verse 49, it says, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him. Now imagine hearing with these words, thy daughter is dead. She's gone. You needn't trouble him anymore. Don't trouble the Master anymore. She's gone. And I don't know what went on in that man's heart just when he heard those words. But I can only tell you the experience that I had in mind when my son was gone. Almost like the bottom dropped out of your world. He's gone. And I can see the head of Jairus dropping. I can see the tears beginning to run. I can see a broken man. But what did the Lord say to him? Verse 50, when Jesus heard it, heard what? Heard that his daughter was dead. He answered him, saying, and he looked him in the eye, said, Jairus, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And Jesus went on ahead, and he made his way to the house. And when he got to the house, he came into the house, and he suffered no man to go in. There was only Peter, James, and John, the father and the mother of the child, were to go in. And as he arrived at the house, everybody was there, and they were weeping and wailing, bewailing the loss of this little one. And as the Lord Jesus went into the midst of them, the Lord Jesus says, weep not. What he is weeping for? Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. When he spoke those words, they laughed him to scorn. You know why? Because they knew that she was dead. And Jesus walked into that wee room where the wee baby was, or the wee girl was at 12 years of age, and he put everybody out, and he took her by the hand, and he called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I want to tell you something. He was even able to raise the dead. Now, the several things that you have looked at this evening are very important. There was the demonic of Gadara. It just proves that he was a sinner. There was a woman with the issue of blood. The reason why she was unwell, the reason why she had this issue and this problem within the body is because of sin. The wee child that died, why did it die? It died because we all have to die, because we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus is coming to seek to save us that are sinners, and in order to bring us to redemption through the blood of his cross. And just as a man came to the Lord of the country of the Gadarenes, and just as the woman came to the Lord, and just as Jairus came to the Lord, listen, you and I need to come to the Lord. And the Lord promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there's hope for the sinner. And Christ is your hope. And Christ is the one who has paid the ultimate price as he made his way to the place called Calvary. And he died in our room instead. I wonder tonight what state your life's in. I wonder tonight what problems, what difficulties, what experiences you're going through. I want to tell you something. There's hope in the Lord Jesus. For the same Lord Jesus who transformed the lives of these three families is able to transform your life tonight if you're willing to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that you'll do so. Wherever you might be, whether it's at home or whatever, maybe tonight just sitting there in front of the fire, or just in the living room or in the kitchen, that the Lord will speak to your heart. And that even tonight that you might come and trust him and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your work of grace in the lives of these people. We thank you for the demoniac of Gadara, a man whose life was an absolute rack and ruin. And yet, Lord, you're able to come and transform him and to make him a new creation in Christ Jesus. I recognize the woman there, the father who came and touched the hem of your garment. Her life was a mess. And certainly the reason why we all have sickness and ailments, and the only reason why we're going to die like the little girl, is because we're all sinners. And Father, I thank you, Father, for your ableness to be able to touch and transform the woman with the issue of blood. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to raise that wee girl from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able to do more than abundant than ever we could ask or think. And tonight, Lord, we pray that for those who would be still in their sin, who are listening in to this message this evening, we pray that each and every one of them might know a touch from the Master's hand. That men and women might come to realize and recognize that they have a soul to be saved, and that now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Give that deciding grace, speak to hearts, we pray, draw sinners to yourself, and we'll be careful, dear Father, to give to thee all the praise and every bit of the glory.